Fitzy and Whipper.
Hey, podcasters, what a treat this is. Bring it in. Bring it right in, guys. This is a special one today. I know I've said that before, but I'm telling you, this podcast is really special. There's one man who I admire beyond belief. Ricky Gervais is his name. What a superstar. Of course you know him from The Office's David Brent, but now the movie of The Office, Life on the Road, is out in cinemas today. And Ricky joins us live from his house in London. It's not far away too. Stay tuned. This is fantastic. Everyone relax. Thursday night is typically date night.
No, Wednesday nights are.
I don't know why you say Wednesday night. Your Thursday night is your great date night, so you then can organise something leading into the weekend. Wednesday's too far out for the weekend.
We've spoken about this before. It's been
Thursday.
Scientifically proven that Wednesday nights is the best night for love.
Sarah, if a guy rings you and says, hey, let's catch up Wednesday night, it's kind of like, that's weird. If a guy rings you and says, let's catch up Thursday night, you go, whoa,
I prefer Thursday because it's closer to the weekend and we get up early. But my flatmates, two of them are single and they're always Wednesday night
dates. You know why? Yep.
Every Wednesday.
Why? Hump day.
I can see what you've done there, mate. That's awesome.
That slow is down awesome. To 25 kilometres an hour, ladies.
It's hump day.
Sorry, Sarah.
Sorry, Sarah. I'm so sorry about that. We're better than that. This is a great list that's come out. It's what to eat and drink to prevent a disappointing performance in the bedroom. A little bit male-focused here, which is interesting for the guys because the pressure going into those nights when you're romantic, especially on the first occasion, you'd say that nerves are running hot. And anxiety is a little bit present there.
I always thought it was, if you wanted to, for better for performance in the bedroom, was always you had to think about, as a guy, you had to think about other things.
What do you mean?
Like when you
distract your mind from the
why? Yeah. What's the point of being there?
No,
so then
no,
you can last longer.
Yeah, so
I
you
find
can,
that so offensive.
You both can have a better time for a longer period. And I used to think about cars.
Did you? I used to think about football. But then it didn't really work, and I used to think maybe I love footy too much.
Sam,
why is that offensive?
It is offensive. Like, everyone's there putting in a lot of effort, and you're thinking about football
and
cars.
No, but you're thinking about that.
It was just unfortunate the girl that you're doing it with was making love to a football.
It was weird that there were four other footballers in the room.
Sam, with a full bladder.
Sam, it's the idea that we're doing it for you. Because the idea is that it lasts longer, and it's weird saying you in that sentence.
It is. I feel really
makes it sound like you and I.
No, you know what? Do you know what it all comes down to? Yep. It's as simple as this. Young guys, right, they get to watch adult material when they're young, and they think that they can become those stars in the videos. It's not like that at all.
Slow down. Show some passion. That was a T-shirt.
Wouldn't
that
you
I,
do that
it's a
by
T-shirt
concentrating?
I'm going to get made. Slow down and show
that
some passion.
That was your life motto.
Whatever you're doing, bedroom or buffet, slow down and show some passion. Oh, Jesus. Here's the foods that can help you slow down. Cocoa, which is in your chocolate, of course, which is very important. They say here red wine. It's a relaxant, of course, but it can improve blood flow too.
Well, see, that was another thing. Having a few drinks before you did it was always...
Get your confidence up, but the danger is you don't want to go over that tipping point because the other effect is that things might not work altogether. You're right. You're going to end up snoring afterwards.
You go to sleep.
And she's going to think, oh, God, I've just slept with a pig.
A
worse.
Football and a pig.
Yeah. it's a bad night out when you come round to my place. Strawberries are good. Mix them with the dark chocolate, Sarah, and you've got yourself a romantic night at home.
I just can't understand why you have to rely on these things to be able to get it on.
No, it's just
berries and chocolate thinking, yep, maybe this will work.
No, this is to last longer, Sarah.
Yeah, and I'm not saying you eat all of them. I mean, you're not going to walk in the door and Gary's just got a buffet in front of him because he's planning on making love to you all night long.
Please, don't be gross.
Please, Gary. Stop eating, Gary. What are you doing? We're having a big night. Watermelon, Sarah. So you can have you some dessert with next to your
too
strawberries,
messy.
Which is nice.
Way too messy.
This is an interesting one. And I point my finger at you, Tom Harvey. Nuts.
Yes.
Walnuts, pistachios, because you often carry around a big bag of almonds just nibbling throughout the day.
I do.
Is that in preparation for when you...
Before you...
Get home.
Before you get your own nuts.
No, it wasn't. It was more just as a snack. But now that I know...
I'm onto you.
You're onto me.
I've worked out what's going on.
I'm exposed.
Yeah. Oysters, of course, are on the list.
Oh, yes, I carry them around.
What? Oh, you've already got your nuts.
not until you've gone through half a bag there, Tom. I'm in for a big night. Here's a tricky one.
Yeah.
This has completely thrown me because this is playing with fire. Garlic.
Nah.
Is apparently the best. But the problem is you've still got to get there because if you approach with your garlic breath, you're going to need to, you're going to need to make love without breathing.
Yeah.
Now, that's your biggest challenge with having garlic.
Don't you have garlic tablets on your desk?
Yeah, I do.
See, Sarah.
In the office, really? No, garlic. Check yourself.
No, I'm like Tom with a bag of nuts. He has nuts. I have garlic. When we get home, we have very happy wives.
See, Sarah, look, this is a big problem for young guys growing up. You don't understand it. For you, it's never nude. You don't like to go nude. Okay. And that's understandable,
denim
right?
Shorts.
That's your problem.
Denim shorts
but
to bed.
For a young guy.
No, it's not my problem. Whipper has given it to me on air.
It's not a problem. It's more of a condition. Because it's a mental state of mind.
And when you first start making love, you want to impress each other. This is the thing. But for young guys, God, manses. I didn't even get my jeans off the first time. Do you know what I mean? Like, and that's why we've got to work on it over and over again.
Hang on.
And I was in a petrol station, which was even worse.
I was just looking at the magazine. I got 2-for-1 chuckies on the way out the door. Oh, still to come today. Bo Ryan joins us.
We're not coming back from that one. Now, we spoke about the other day, what were the odds of that couple who met each other, who found out that they had a birthday on the same day, who then had a child on the same day?
It was something like 40 billion to one.
Yeah, wasn't it?
Or something ridiculous like that.
Well, how's this one? Identical twins, Stephen and David Bissett. They got married last year, which was a beautiful story.
Steve and Dave.
Steve got married in June and David got married in November.
Right, okay.
Both their wives gave birth on Monday, August 15th.
That's unbelievable.
Now, I'm trying to find out the...
Anyone?
Sorry.
What the probability is for that. Oh, we should have got into
wasn't
it, shouldn't
ready.
We?
Nah, don't worry about it, guys.
We should have got the probability for this one, because it says here it's 150,000 to one, and I'm thinking it's got to be more than that. But then I've just read the article, and it says, no, bookmakers Ladbroke said they would have offered the boys 150,000 to one.
Wow. That's unbelievable.
So does that mean that you can go into a betting agency and go, oh, look, I'm thinking about having a baby in 2018 on this day. What odds do you give me?
What are the chances of Whipper doing it at the same time?
Well, doesn't the doctor tell you your due date? Isn't there a level of cheating in there?
Yeah. But you've still got to conceive
got to,
at the right time.
It's got to work. All systems need to be go at the same time.
You can't pick the conception, Sarah.
No, but can you put the date? Can you put the bet on once you've conceived?
No, the odds would come right down. That's what odds are all about, Sarah.
It's interesting.
You wouldn't get 150,000 to one.
Interesting, you're focusing more on the gambling side than the actual amazement of the story, Sarah.
And in another quirk of fate...
That's what this was all about.
In another quirk of fate, the mum-to-be and the new mum actually passed each other in the corridor at the same hospital. As Nicola was coming out of the labour suite, the door was held open for Kim to be taken in. It's not the first time that the boys have done stuff together. They passed their driving tests on the same day when they were 17. Well, that's not as bad.
That's not bad
you
at
just
all.
Just go through the logbook together.
You booked in together.
Both twins tied the knot last year, but they didn't do that on the same day, so they're not doing everything together.
I wonder if there was the conversation, like, hey, let's try and do something amazing here so Fitzy and Whipper talk about it in 9 months' time. Mm. Let's conceive this weekend.
I doubt
Let's have a crack at it this weekend. Did they discuss it? And go, come on now. How did you go? Yeah, I went well. Okay.
Do you know how they do the telepathic? The twins know what the other one's thinking.
Oh, yes.
So do you think when one gets randy, the other one goes... Mm-hmm. So at the time of conception, do you think one was going, okay, to his wife, let's do it tonight, and the other one would have been going, oh,
well, apparently they
all
can
of a sudden
feel,
I'm toey.
Apparently it. if you slap like one twin on the arm, the other one can feel it or something.
Yeah. Sarah, that is the biggest
I've heard that.
Yeah. That's what the Veronicas say.
Yeah, if one of them is in pain, the other can feel it.
Like
they're
a voodoo
connected.
Doll?
Sort of, yeah.
What you were talking about is interesting though, Fitzy, because that feel thing, because you're right, if one of them's getting into it and another guy's halfway through a presentation at work, going, you'll notice that the incorrect, oh my God, I'm so sorry, don't look down.
Or can you tag and sort of take over from me, brother, what I mean?
Yeah. And then what, he's halfway through and then you realise it stops and it's the other one going.
What they should have done, the ultimate stitcher, is the other brother should have gone into the other wife. and held the baby. Fun. And got photos with the different babies.
Oh, I thought you meant at conception.
Classic.
Yeah, that's...
Anyway, good so luck to the old Steve and David Bissett. Well done, guys. Well done, guys. Should have put some money on it, Ladbrokes.
Sarah's Bearers, Dara's Carers, new celebrity feud that started up overnight.
Yeah, Kate Upton, you know the model and
gorgeous-looking
thing. Yeah, she has struck up a spat with the Kardashians. I don't know why people engage with the Kardashians.
No.
There are so many of them that by numbers alone you're always going to lose because they all just turn on you at once.
Yeah.
So Kate Upton threw some shade at the family. She put
threw
some shade. Yep, she put a pouty selfie on Snapchat with the caption, "I look like a Kardashian, nose job and all."
Oh, no.
Yeah, and the girls have always denied that they've had work done, especially Kim, Chloe and Kylie, who look totally different to how they looked 2 years ago. But they've all said they never had plastic surgery, they've had fillers and things like that. But this isn't the first time Kate's had a crack. In 2013, Kanye West slammed Vanity Fair because Kate was described as the modern-day Marilyn Monroe. And obviously, you know, Kanye thinks Kim is all things amazing.
Big
already she's on the outer.
I mean, the biggest question is who's going to play Kate Upton in The People versus O.J. Simpson?
I think you're going to let that go.
Are you putting your hand up?
No, well, who? There's no other gorgeous blonde. Sarah.
Oh, thanks,
you could
guys.
Be Kate Upton.
Yeah, Sarah Upton.
Oh, that's awesome.
Upton herself.
Hey, good luck with that role.
Speaking of the Kardashians, some photos have come out of Lamar Odom, which Khloe is not going to be happy about.
No.
So obviously he overdosed last October. He almost died at that.
I'm laughing because I've seen these photos.
Oh, I know, they're pretty
What, is
disgusting.
He playing basketball or something?
So he's flanked by strippers at this seedy nightclub. He's smoking marijuana. And the girls are not, they're wearing, you know, the underwear that women wear, the swimmers, that it looks like you've just been covered in electrical tape. That's how thin the straps are. And they're just standing around the club with him. Anyway, a lot of photos have come out. Kim Kardashian had said she thought Khloe would save Lamar and the marriage.
Yep.
So I think she feels a fair bit of responsibility not to let him relapse.
I mean, he's had a tough time, of course, and then ended up in hospital, but you would feel this is almost a welcome home party that the strip club's thrown, and he's walked in and he's done, "I'm back, guys!"
I'm back, yeah. He needs to get back on the court, man.
Show some D.
Some D defence, yeah.
Guys, Peter Andre, I don't often bring him up in entertainment.
It's a shame. What have you got on Pete?
Well, here we go. He has revealed he was mistaken for a suicide bomber as he tried to hail a London cab. I know it's not really a funny topic, unbelievable. He says, "I got on the train. It was a cold morning. I had my trackies on my hat, my hoodie and my backpack."
Well, he looks
and next
like
thing
a
you know, he was stopped by the cops.
He does look like a bit of a funky junkie.
Very good. There it is.
Funky. Have we got any Peter Andre in the system?
I think we got rid of it in 1992.
On. What's going
Mysterious
on with this?
Girl?
Mysterious girl. I want to get close to you. He's got a bomb.
She's listened to the quality.
Yeah.
Taken off a cassette.
I don't know why.
Fitzy.
I don't know why he moved to the UK.
Oh, dear me. Finally, Britney Spears. She's one very lucky lady. She revealed she almost drowned while on vacation in Hawaii a few weeks ago. She went out for a dip in the ocean and soon was sucked under by some 6-foot waves.
I thought it was like a wave pool, you know, and I'm like, oh, this is so nice and refreshing and just beautiful. But the thing I didn't think about is when you come back, you know, the waves really come in hard. And I got sucked under for like 5 minutes, literally almost drowned. And I'm like, where's my security? They're just going to let me die here, you know?
5 minutes.
Yeah. That's a long time.
Usually not many people can hold their breath for 5 minutes.
Rumor has it she wasn't swimming. She was actually spears fishing.
Pop icon almost drowns and you make a spearfishing
nothing but head shakes
Sarah,
from around
on
the
behalf
room
of the team on behalf of everyone here at Nova, I apologise for that man over there.
I accept your apology.
I'll get my coat.
You can leave, Whipper.
See you guys, I'm out.
If you want to have a laugh, if you want to have a chuckle, pick yourself up, you got to get yourself to the cinemas, because we know that David Brent is back. Life on the Road hits cinemas today, and we've got the man himself behind the movie and also co-hosting our show with us this morning, Ricky Gervais. Have we actually got him on the line, Ricky? You there?
On. Mate. Can hear each other.
Yeah!
We got him!
Right, let's do this.
All right, is Jane home? Does she have any friends around yet?
No, she's out at the moment. I'm the one with all the friends.
Yeah, well, I love it when you post a photo, Jane hanging out with all her friends, and she's just by herself, but not one of her friends actually comments and says, no, I'm her friend. No one stands up for her.
No, exactly. They just laugh. They just laugh. I like the fact that it looks like she's got no peace. There's some that I'm like the paparazzi. I have to get her at a distance so I can show there's no one, yep. No one around.
I just love it. Poor well, Joe. The paparazzi, they got you the other day moving into the new house.
Unbelievable. Man moves house. Yeah,
phenomenal.
Brilliant.
Phenomenal.
If it had been man teleports belongings to new house, that's a new story.
Exactly.
But using a removal firm really isn't much of a new story.
Oh,
and you know what? It was amazing as well to see that they pointed out, Ricky, that there was a large amount of workout equipment being moved in as well.
Yeah, that's a slight diss. Mm. That's so people go, well, he doesn't look like he uses it. Mm. That's definitely a slight diss.
Yeah, exactly. But the way they'll always write it will be flattering to you. Ricky Gervais looking fit, surprisingly moving fitness equipment in.
I know, exactly. Yeah, I had to get 5 blokes to carry it, though.
Yeah.
That's sort of the optic, isn't it?
Do you know what another thing you've been known for is your magnificent bath selfies on Instagram, Ricky? And can we just ask, have you taken one today?
I haven't. I've had a bath, though. I've had a bath. The bath in my new house is even better than the other one. I'm going to spend a lot of time in it.
Yeah.
It's a luxury. I love it. It's the simple pleasures.
When we knew you were coming on the show, the guy that does our online work here, he said, mate, do you reckon you could get in the bath at home and do like squash the chin down like Ricky does and take a photo of yourself in the bath and then we can compare it with Ricky? And I said, I don't take selfies in the bath. That's not my thing. I don't know why I would do that.
That sounds like a terrible Australian euphemism. Let's play squash the chin down. That sounds like something that would happen in Australian jails. Yeah. Hey, welcome to my cell, mate. We're going to play squash the chin down.
Oh mate, no, we're not playing any type of kinky squash the chin down. Have you been? Did you settle in for the Olympics? Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, we've been here sort of like about a few days, but I watched most of the Olympics. Before we moved in, I thought it was great. I mean, I've loved the last two Olympics only because sort of the UK did.
Did really well.
I mean, crazy that you could beat China. There's a billion people there.
Phenomenal.
But I do enjoy. I sort of select it. If I turn on and it's equestrian, I go off. Forget that. It's some posh bloke sitting down. The horse is doing all the work. Give the horse the medal. Give the horse the medal.
Exactly.
But yeah, no, I like the boxing and I do like the athletics. I even sort of got caught up in the diving a bit, which I don't usually like.
Yeah, but sure.
You'd see the diving and I go, oh my God, that's amazing. And they go, oh dear. That's gonna be I go, what? What did they do wrong? What did they do wrong? They ended at the wrong angle.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that.
You know,
that is terrible. That's the worst dive I've ever seen. Okay, it's like Superman.
Exactly. It's brilliant. Well, the last time we actually chatted, you were annoyed with your mate Carl Pilkington because Carl was saying that he can't believe that we're still giving out medals in this day and age. He said, why weren't people getting stuff like caravans instead so they could use them a bit better?
Yeah, that's it. Didn't he say instead of a bronze, it should be 50 quid?
Yep.
A silver should be 100 quid. And the gold should be 1,000 or a caravan.
Which I would just love to see them storing them in the caravan facility just outside the village.
Like an old terrible 1970s game show.
Yeah. We've got to talk about the movie, of course. Congratulations, Life on the Road, The Office, David Brent. It was just so great to see the character return, mate. We absolutely love it. And the fact that you've got, you know, classic Brent, the comedy and the inappropriateness of Brent, but the real fact that he wants to be a rock star and break away from his day job.
Exactly. You know, he's never given up that dream. And it's sort of a bit sadder now because in The Office, you know, he was 39. He was the peak of his powers. He was the boss. Yep. He was, you know... And I sort of did The Office after watching a lot of those quaint docu-soaps of the 90s when an ordinary guy gets in 50 minutes of fame and that's it.
Yep.
But now fame's insatiable. Now everyone wants to be famous.
Exactly.
They've had, you know, X Factor, all these talent shows. They've also seen people behaving badly and getting rewarded for it. They get on Big Brother by promising to be terrible, and it's like a zoo now. David Brent thinks, well, I'll have a bit of that. I'll try again. And he sort of, his mistake is trying to do it the credible route almost. He's trying to do it like Springsteen. He's put a band together and he's written these songs, and it's just not going to happen because he's a 55-year-old tampon rep, you know? So it's really sad. And I think people are liking more in this one because they realise he was never a terrible bloke. He was a bit of a twit. But relative to the rest of the world now, which is very, very harsh and dog-eat-dog and all alpha males and, you know, bullying's back, it's sort of like feeling a bit sorrier for him than you did, I think. And you realise that he just needs a hug, you know.
Exactly. And at the same time, at the end of it, well, I was impressed and almost admired, Ricky, that the fact that he actually followed through and chased his dream, you know what I mean?
I totally agree with that. I think that's quite a British thing where, you know, we say to people, oh, don't even try because you'll fail. It's embarrassing.
Same here.
And people, oh, is it? Yeah, people just don't like it. People think, oh, who are you to think you can be better than us? Yeah. And you want to go, well, I'm not trying to be better than you. I'm trying to better myself.
Yeah,
that's all. I'm trying to make a better life for myself. Mm. You know, in America, success is sort of applauded, really.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they go down and say, nice car. Here, you can't leave a nice car on the street because someone is scratching you. Who do you think you are bringing that round it?
Yeah, you know? Which Premier League team does he play for? It's like that. I mean, Jordan Belfort, right, the Wolf of Wall Street, I remember he came on the show and he said, why do Australians make an effort to put anybody down if they're trying to achieve something or do something different? And I didn't realise it was the same in the UK. It's that tall poppy syndrome.
You've got British blood running through your veins.
You know, exactly. Except we're more dangerous out here. It's why you won't visit.
You've got the sunshine.
Yeah,
you've got you're us. You're us with sunshine. Although it's lovely here at the moment.
Ricky, can we talk about David Brent's wardrobe? I have been fascinated with it for the last decade. Can I ask, did you get any of it maybe possibly out of your own wardrobe a few years ago?
No. But it is that sort of, I try to do that obvious midlife crisis.
Oh, it's beautiful.
The guy trying to act younger than he is, trying to feel younger than he is, trying to think he's sexier than he is. Yeah. I mean, that's already funny. A middle-aged man thinking he's sexy is just, it's just cringy already, isn't it?
It's perfect.
And you know, it is that, I've got the car, I've got the leather jacket, you know, what I'm flying
it's
high.
Embarrassing.
And I think that's what comedy is, its essence. It's an ordinary guy trying to do something he's not equipped to do.
Yeah.
And as we've just discussed, you know, we laugh at that and we see ourselves in it a little bit. We know it's, I think there's a little bit of Brent in all of us. You know, we all want to be loved. We all say the wrong thing now and again.
That's right.
It's just that we don't all invite the cameras in our lives 24/7. It's that, he's been sold a lie. Mm.
It was interesting too. I mean, your band when you were younger growing up was actually Foregone Conclusion, which is the name of the band in the movie. We were looking at a couple of promo shots that you did for the band when you were younger. It was the one with the T-shirt on and the sleeves rolled up. Quite feminine,
that,
Ricky. Quite feminine.
They weren't called Foregone Conclusion, but I've been in bands
sure.
That's my first band that was sort of like a new romantic band, but then a rock band that was even less successful than Sugar Dancing that was not successful.
Right. So, you
know, less and less. And in the movie, there's a thing that happened to me in real life. With that band in about 1985 or something, we played a venue in London called the Bull and Gate, and we did the sound check, and it actually happened. The engineer said, you might as well stay up there, lads, because you're on now.
Wow.
And I said, when are they opening the doors? And he said, they're open. No one's come through to see you. And in real life, I just said, oh, let's treat it like a free rehearsal. And we played 8 songs to no one.
Oh, no one arrived from start of the first to end of 8 songs. No one.
Just leaving. So it's I've lived through the tragedy myself.
We thought we'd do a musician quiz because it's been a big part of your life, just to see your knowledge on a couple of real-life musicians.
Come on.
No, you're going to love this.
Very seriously. This is my Olympics.
All right, this is your Olympics. Fingers crossed you'll win a caravan, but you'll have to wait to the end, okay? 3 questions here. Who was a terrible singer, right, could never sing, couldn't hold a note until one day at a sports event they were hit by a shot put, landed on the ground, got up and they could sing?
Is this true?
Yep, true, 100%, according to him. There's a clue.
And he's a famous singer now.
Famous singer, yeah. He's a little bit older these days. He came out here to sing at the AFL Grand Final a while ago, and he was a little off-key. The feedback wasn't great. So he's hit the ground. Some other kid has thrown the shot put. He's hit the ground, and he got up and was able to sing.
Tom Jones.
No, Meatloaf.
Oh.
Yeah,
oh.
Without a word of a lie. So he was lying on the ground, and then he got up, and he went, and I would do when. And he had it. He had it. And it was the best thing that ever happened to him.
All right, Ricky, not a good start, but that's okay. Let's get into the second question. Which band were kicked out of their own gig, snuck back in to perform, and were then discovered by a record label at the same gig?
Oh, you should know this one.
Really?
Because you'd know
Ozzy
them.
Osbourne.
No.
Ozzy Osbourne.
But they're a bit like that because they're grumpy.
Oasis.
Bang. Well done.
Well done.
There you go. Okay, you've moved into middle contention. Congratulations. Okay. All right, okay. This one, I don't know how you'll go here. Which superstar singer was taught to play guitar by the repairman who turned up to the house to fix their computer?
So this must be fairly recent. And
fairly recent, you would say, yeah. A younger artist. And I don't know, maybe it was a hard drive issue, and then he went, hey, I've noticed that guitar in the corner. Let me show you a thing or two.
Oh, guitar.
It's a bit of...
Ed Sheeran.
No, but you're close. Taylor Swift.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, it would have been weird if for her parents, I would have thought, when they walked in and he was just picked up the family guitar and probably sitting on the end of the bed and the hard drive was still broken.
What are you doing in my house?
With my guitar.
Yeah.
There you go, mate. You've one out of three. You've got yourself a medal, so it's not a disaster.
I'm angry. This is a bad start to the day for me.
Don't be angry at all. On the topic, though, your mate Chris Martin, he actually performed on a couple of the songs, the soundtrack. Is that right?
Yeah, just one song, Electricity, which is on the album and is the it's not in the film as such, but it's the closing credit number. It's a bit of an in-joke because at the end, you know, David Brent says he's going to write a song with the Coldplay vibe. And then you hear it and it's exactly... like a Coldplay song. And when I got Chris Martin to come along, I played him the song. I said, I want you to do a bit on this. And he just started laughing. And he said, oh, I get it. He said, yeah. He said, I get it. Don't worry. Let me help you take the piss out of me.
What a good bloke. What a great guy.
And he went and nailed it. And it's one of my favourite songs on the album. And it's great. I mean, it's almost beyond... the Brent round, really, because there's no joke. It's a proper track. It's great, yeah.
Well, Ricky, actually, Coldplay is touring here in December, so if you like, we'll obviously keep this quiet, but halfway through the set, David Brent could maybe pop up in a leather jacket and he could rock out his Coldplay tribute.
The plane takes way too long. It takes... Was it 3 days to Australia, isn't it?
No, they've fixed it a bit these days. What, are you in a hot air balloon?
I'd stop. Stop up with the Philippines, where I'm huge.
Yeah.
I'm huge.
Huge. I mean, they're still spinning that single. They love it there.
Yeah.
Then get back in your hot air balloon and just float over to Sydney here in Australia. We'll see you coming, and the collar on your jacket will be propped up high, and you can do a number with Coldplay.
That would be great. I'm in.
Well, mate, congratulations on the movie.
Thank you.
I'm
glad you liked
it. Absolutely love it. Absolutely love the film. It was so good to see it on the screen.
Lovely. We'll go and see the film anyway.
Mate, lovely to talk. Great to see your face in cinemas today. Really appreciate it, Ricky.
Thank you.
Mate, you're an absolute legend. Thank you very much, Ricky.
Cheers, man.
Thank you.
Sydney's Fitzy and Whipper. Nova.
Here's an interesting one. Came out overnight. 98 things Facebook knows about you. So it's the ability of the data that's also
on
the websites that are linked to your Facebook page as well. It goes on with the basic stuff. So you've got like location, age, your gender, your language. Then it goes into things like home value, property size, how many square metres your home is and when it was built.
How do they know how many square metres your house is?
Would it link to, if you've popped your address in there, you can get any details on someone's house if you just Google it or put them into a real estate app.
No one puts their address on Facebook.
Well, some people do, but also it probably reads when you're searching for a house, then when you buy the house, because it can access all that sort of information, your search history, that sort of stuff.
Because you wonder, because they're not going, there's not someone at the headquarters, Mark Zuckerberg's not sitting there going, oh, hang on, guys, there's a sold sign on that board out the front of the house. They've got one. And therefore, they've got the details.
No, I don't think he does.
See, but I mean, this is all the stuff that they can use that data, like you said, to then target.
Yep.
You know, renovation places or
and homewares. Yep. If you've just bought a this new place.
Oh, mate, I looked up a picnic rug the other day. I wanted to buy a picnic rug, Tash, like a really big one, 3 meters by 3 meters, just for the park. And I couldn't believe I'm still getting served ads for picnic rugs.
Like, yeah. Sell that data. Advertisers buy that data.
Every time I open my laptop, they're offering me another picnic rug. I don't want another picnic rug.
Facebook, I might invest in them. I think they're going to be a pretty successful business.
No, I think it's fading out. They're struggling. It goes on to say, it can say, find out if you're, who your employee is, your job title, office types, interests. The list goes on and on. Types of vacations.
Yep, your mistress knows all the details
whether
about your mistress.
Finished your census or not? How much are you going to be fined if you
don't
do your census?
So how many pieces of information does Facebook know about you?
98 points, mate.
Oh,
they know
all
about you. Got your insurance details for your car, Tash, everything.
Your PIN number.
Yeah.
We just got...
I'm not on Facebook.
Zuckerberg. Oh, that reason.
We'll just give 98 facts we know about Tash.
Too many skeletons, Tash. I want to hear 13, 24, 10 from you. What did your grandparents want as a birthday present as they've got older? Now, I'm sort of looking for a bit of a Randy Granny here because this story is unbelievable, Sarah. And it's to do with Avena Smales is her name. She turned 105 years of age
yesterday.
Well
done, Avena.
And she didn't want a scarf or something?
No.
Something nice, a sweater?
She's known locally as Auntie Ivy, and she's still with it, mate, mentally. Right there, very funny, very quick. And the family got together and went up to Auntie Ivy and said, "What do you want, Ive?" And she said, "I would love a hot fireman with tattoos to bring me a cake."
Similar to Tom Ivy.
Yeah, wouldn't we all?
Auntie Ivy and Tom Ivy, similar interests.
Similar people.
God, so 104 chasing the old naughty...
105, mate.
105 chasing the naughty fireman.
It's unbelievable. And she said it as a joke. They thought, well, let's get her back. Bit of a stitch up here. Got a hot fireman to rock up with tats. He took his top off and he delivered the cake and did a bit of a dance around her as well.
Was she happy with...
Twerked in front of her face.
Oh, yeah. Lap dance.
Yep. And then the siren went off and he had to slide down the pole and get out of there. But...
Soon enough.
Did she survive the birthday?
No, unfortunately, she had a heart attack and passed away. No, she didn't. No, she's still with us.
That's when he started attacking the
cake. But see, I love hearing stories like this. You know, grandmas or even grandpas who are still having a crack with stuff like this.
Georgie, who used to work on the show, didn't she get her grandma a stripper?
And it was a similar sort of thing. I think it was a hot guy fireman type and then cracked it when he left and wants to make sure that he's returning for next year's celebration.
Right.
Well, it's something to live for, isn't it?
I told you about Hazel Fitzgerald, my grandmother, the first ever woman to play piano
according
in a beer garden in the world.
According to your dad.
That was down at the Port Nalunga Hotel, and we had a beautiful beer garden down there, and they used to have cockies and stuff and all these bird cages, and you go down there and the kids would play with the birds, and Grandma would get up and she'd play on the piano. And she loved the Port Nalunga Footy Club, so Dad organised for her birthday one year, Nipper Hill, who was one of the best players down there.
Oh, Nipper.
R.I.P. Nipper. I don't think he's with us anymore. He drank too much. But he got up on the old Yamaha piano.
Of course he did.
And took his Guernsey off and did a bit of a dance.
Oh, he did have his footy top on at the time and then took it off.
Yep.
How did Hazel go with that?
And the birds were in the background going, hello, Nipper.
Oh, wow.
So Nana was with a beer in one hand, with the piano with the other, just looking up at Nipper Hill, and he was doing a bit of a seductive dance on the piano.
Did she take her teeth out for a kiss afterwards?
No.
Because often her teeth would fall into her pint glass, wouldn't they?
Yeah, she had her teeth in, and unfortunately she was a bit lazy, my grandma, so she didn't want to go to the toilet at night.
Oh.
She had an empty ice cream container under her bed that she would use, Sarah.
If you've bothered getting up to squat over an ice cream tub, just take the five steps towards the actual...
Sarah, you're not entertaining in a beer garden with no teeth, so you don't know what it's like after a big show when you get into bed.
I imagine she was exhausted by the performance, but the ice cream tub is not a suitable option.
Ones or twos for the tub, mate.
Oh, I don't know. Oh, no.
Yuck.
That's
Do
pretty
not answer that.
Obvious. Her place did smell shocking, though. Ellen in Woolloomooloo. Hi, Ellen.
What? Hi.
How are you doing? What did your auntie get your granny?
My auntie got my grandma for her 75th birthday a tattoo on her ankle.
What was the tattoo of, Ellen?
I think it was her star sign. And then the year after for Christmas, she got she asked for another one, and she got a flower on her other ankle.
Oh, beautiful. How old was she when she got that first tat? Alan?
I think she was about 75, and she's now 80, and she loves them.
Okay.
Wow. I said tat.
Yeah, I know. What do you think I said? But it sounded a lot different.
It sounded a bit like tit, didn't
it? Yeah, it did.
I didn't know what I was doing there.
Well, there was a recently, and this would make you feel better because you refused to do it, skydiving, but there was a 100-year-old woman who skydived for the first time.
Because you got to choose now, I reckon, at this stage of life, what sort of grandparent you're going to be. Like, I kind of like the idea of pretending I've lost my mind as I get older.
I'm already doing that.
being completely inappropriate. I don't know what I'm doing.
I reckon I'd go hard during the day, and then I'll be in bed by 5 o'clock at night. I'll be one of those in front of the fire and just fall asleep on the couch.
I do think it's liberating, though, as you get older, that you start to lose your filter.
Yes.
I think it's great.
Completely. You're expected to pretend that you don't know you've just passed wind in the kitchen in front of everyone.
I didn't mean that.
Oh, sorry. your mind, of course.
Test, test, test. And now it's time for Tom, the overweight-looking Russell Brand producer. Time. Tom time.
They should bring Back Home Improvement. What a great show that was.
Such a good show.
Hi, Fitzy. Hi, Whipper. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Tommy.
And for people who normally haven't heard of Tom Time, we play it at 7 a.m. But it's been pushed for Ricky Gervais, so it's exciting to have it in prime time.
Jeez, you've been caught up in the technical side of this show, haven't you?
Well, I care. No, you know what? There weren't people on a Thursday, Tom, at 7 o'clock going, oh, my God, where's Tom Time gone?
Are you
I'm
sure?
freaking out.
Well, I've tried to get rid of this segment.
Hard to say. Okay, how it works. I have three very simple incriminating questions. The answer is either Fitzy or Whipper. Get the third one correct, and you win date night at Gold Class, which is exciting.
G'day, Jess. Welcome to the show.
Hi, guys.
Jess, you've got to get through three to take home the chockies here today. You confident?
Oh, I like to think so.
Yeah. All right, Jess, I believe in you. Here we go. Tell me what you got
first. First question is really easy.
Let me guess. It's a food or fat-related joke.
Oh, here we go.
Don't try and ruin my game.
No, I won't. You just try and do something different.
You try and do something different. Listen to question one. Who asked me to get him lunch, then asked Magic Millie to get him lunch an hour later? Was that Fitzy or Whip?
I'm pretty sure that might have been Whipper.
Yeah, exactly. Oh,
Do you know other people on the team eat as well? I mean,
two
it's
lunches.
Perfectly normal. No, it was more morning tea and lunch.
Well, I got you an entree.
I
got your full size chicken schnitzel wrap, and then an hour later, you asked Millie to go up to the shops to get your chicken salad.
Oh, well, you should have.
You're having a lot of chicken, Whipper.
I'm a bit like a hippo.
Oh.
You should have asked me what I wanted for mine then. To save Millie the trip.
Question number two.
Thanks, guys. I'll give you my lunch order at 9.
Perfect. Now, Jessica, Fitz and Whipper have very busy diaries after 9 each day. It's full of meetings and videos they have to film. So many important things.
Move on.
But who stuffed up the whole schedule yesterday because he had to go home and get his cold sore cream as soon as we came off air? Was that Fitz or was that Whip?
I'm going to say that was Fitzy.
Absolutely
was. Spot on. Do you know what? There's this new treatment out there for cold sores, guys.
Sure, mate.
For anyone who has the herpes virus. It is. It's a form of herpes.
I know it is, but gross.
Yeah, but Sarah, you get these three tablets now. You take one dose and it just smashes them. Because you can't see.
What have you got on your lip now?
I've got
a
patch. Band-aid?
It's like a nicotine patch for
four
cold sores.
Give Sarah a kiss.
It hasn't broken out, guys. So, Sarah, come over here and give me a kiss.
Oh, wow.
I'm a nice Chianti with that one. All right, Jessica, question
some
three.
Bones.
Good luck. Speaking of viruses, who asked Magic Millie to spray sore throat spray into his mouth as he felt too unwell to spray it himself?
That sounds like Whipper.
Yeah, it's spot on. Yes,
he didn't just make Millie do it. I had to do it yesterday too under his gums.
Are you serious?
Yeah, spraying him for me. I'm like, you can reach your own mouth,
like, you've got to understand, I'm so run down. I've been struck by this virus that's getting around.
You've
I'm
got
lucky
the flu.
to have survived the past 3 weeks. As a result, I've got an ulcer. Millie's got a numbing spray. I can't see where the ulcer is, so I said, Millie, come up close here. And we do personal things. I picked a mole, like a skin tag off your neck the other day, Mel.
Do you know?
Like that little moly moly. I got rid of that for you. So
do you know who you are?
A big ass.
Have you seen that little cartoon character that's in the Demizen ads? Demizen at the end, they kick it away and it's got the big red nose and it's just running.
I'm not,
that's what
I'm
you
not
look
that
like.
Demizen guy.
No, it's a booger with arms and legs.
No, I've just got a little ulcer on my tongue. So, Millie and sir.
Demizen!
Don't kick me! So, thank you for spraying the spray.
Well, thanks, everyone.
I would do that for you. Is there anything you need me to do?
No, because when you pick my nose, when we're just standing around and you say, oh, hang on, and just stick your pinky up there and pick my nose, I don't want you to keep touching me.
I need to grow my nails.
Whipper and Sarah have a very weird relationship.
It's hands-on, isn't it?
It's like a married
couple. It's more sexual tension.
I don't think so at all. I would prefer you stayed up 20 feet away from me, but there you are.
You've had that with a lot of your previous people on air, haven't you?
Did you not come in?
M. Rusciano? There's been quite a...
Shoot a guy who wants to sleep with his co-host and decided it wasn't you, mate.
Well, it's not
sorry,
about
buddy.
That, mate.
I just thought Sarah and I...
Whipper came into the studio during the song and looked at me and coughed and I pulled my skirt further down and said, over you go, mate.
Yeah. But, mate, you've got boots on which come up to your knees
right,
and a short
it's not
skirt.
Right. It's not
I mean,
good.
Tommy had to go and see HR because he was looking under the desk the other day at your pins.
Tom,
okay, guys.
Look what you do with Tom. I think we need to wind it up.
I think it needs to go back to 7
Sarah's
o'clock,
Sarah's going to walk in here like she should be down on the beach, as if I'm not going to notice.
Can you turn off his mic?
I've got a lot to say, guys. I'm not the Demizen snotball.
Worst date ever, they're calling this. This has happened overnight. And these are some of the immature things that blokes do to try to impress girls on a first date.
Mm,
I mean, if you've got any party tricks or anything, Sarah, it's always good to bring them out on the first date.
Get the guitar out.
Bedazzle the girl, you know what I mean?
Like when guys say they're a dolphin trainer? Stuff like
that. Yeah, that's
what's
a good
that?
One.
I don't get it.
You know, when what do you do for a living? Oh, I train dolphins.
Yeah, sure. Marine biologist.
I do a lot of charity work.
No, you don't.
Good anyway, point. A guy over in the States in Pittsburgh, he was with a girl and they decided to watch the sun come up, which is always
that's
good.
That's been a big night.
So they've had a big night and they've decided to scale a building and get onto the roof to watch the sun come out.
Just
very
be careful.
Now, he'd had a few too many drinks, so he decided, watch this. Hey, watch this. I'll jump from this building to the other building.
Hero.
So he's got to run up. He's taken a bit of a jump and he's tripped just before he's about to jump. Oh. And he's actually landed on the other building, but between the two walls into this tiny gap. He's fallen 3 stories. He's down the bottom, stuck between 2 walls. He's broken his ankle and it took 4 hours for emergency to come and rescue him. And apparently on the way out, as he's in the stretcher going to the ambulance, he sees the girl, gives her 2 thumbs up. And she gave him thumbs down and and it was over.
And that was it.
And that was it. That's
my understanding is the gap was about 40 centimetres.
Yeah.
So, it was a tight squeeze when he was down the bottom.
How did he only break an ankle?
Didn't they smash down a brick wall to get him out there down the bottom of the buildings?
Because it was walls.
Yeah.
Do you know what? That's really cruel that she gave him a thumbs down because after that effort, you have to at least give him one more sympathy date.
Yeah. Well, see, my big thing, and I've always showed you, was the cigarette trick, where I could make a cigarette disappear. Now, I don't smoke, but if you're in an area... Look, don't laugh, Tash. It's amazing. And Sarah's seen it, isn't it?
It is good. It's quite impressive.
Trick, yeah. But the thing is, like, it got to the point when we'd be out and someone would say, has anyone got a light or something? And I go, got a cigarette? We'll give it here. BJ used to hate it in the end.
Yeah.
Because I'd just be big noting myself.
Sure.
It was a great trip. 1, 2, 3, gone. Where's it gone? That's phenomenal. My God, you're amazing.
Why didn't you become a permanent magician?
That's not bad. Illusionist. He would have preferred illusionist.
Became good mates with Dynamo. I didn't really want to take his turf or anything like that.
What about that one you taught me to do? And it's a cracker, and I'm happy to release this as a magic trick.
No, No. We don't give details.
It's the one where you rub the coin
into your arm,
into your elbow.
That's to get rid of warts.
Huh? No. Is that what it was? And then
you
do something with your other hand where you pick up the coin and then you make it go away. It's a very clever trick.
That's a good one.
Tommy's magic trick is amazing because about once a month your hair starts to go grey and then you come back the next day and it's dark again. Magic.
Very funny.
Magic.
I would love to hear from girls. I'd love to hear from girls out there. What are some of the immature things that your partner has done early in the relationship?
Yep.
Scaring girls is always another one. Guys
scaring?
Like,
does that?
Guys
Fitzy
like to
does
hide.
It to me in the hallway whenever I have a fresh cup of tea. Fitzy hides and then jumps out behind the door and I always swear and throw the tea.
Troy Kinney, who's got a great television show, has just done a video at the moment of some of the immature things that blokes do early in a relationship. I think it's funny. It breaks the ice.
Yeah, sure.
13, 24, 10 girls. What are some of the immature pranks that your partner plays on you?
Casey and Randwick, what did you do to impress your partner?
So I was seeing this guy for probably about 3 months, maybe. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the girls had sworn me off and they're like, it's bad news, stay away from him. I'm like, no, it's all good. Yeah. Anyway, he was around with one of his mates' houses blind. And a lot of them had those homemade tattoo guns.
Oh,
so what do you know? He's gone and he's got one of his mates to tattoo my name on his bum.
Oh. It's a great effort. It's a great effort, Case.
did it look like a little kid had written it as well, Case?
It looked like a little kindergarten had been trying to learn their first name. That's how bad it looked.
My God. Okay.
And it had smiley faces around it as well. And what do you know, 3 years later, we're broken up and apparently he still has the tattoo.
Oh, that's the best part about it, isn't it?
Did he, the first time you saw him after that, did he go, Case, come and have a look at this. Come on, you're gonna,
heaps impressed.
You're going to love
this. You're going to love it.
You love this. And he's
it's a great effort.
Chucked a moon.
He's now got a sad face emoji next to it.
Kate in Cherrybrook, what did your partner do to impress you, Kate?
Hey, boys. Hey, Sarah.
Hi.
Okay.
A couple of years ago, he decided to put in my top drawer of my, chest of drawers, he decided to put a pair of edible undies. Funnily enough, though, at the time, we were selling my house and we had heaps of people coming through for open homes.
Sure.
I got absolutely furious at the agent saying, you've bought some feral creep through my house and they've put stuff in my drawers.
Oh, no.
I called that assistant. I put in this awful Google review. I went nuts.
Awesome.
And turns out it was just, my partner being a complete immature idiot.
Oh, what's for dinner tonight? Go and look in your top drawer.
They are disgusting edible undies. They're like a roll-up. My friend, her dad...
They're like a roll-up, fruit, squashed fruit.
That's the texture of them. That sort of thick, sticky. And one of my friend's dads put them on at his 50th and thought it was really funny, but there was an open fire and it just melted too.
Awesome. Who ate them off?
Oh, what are you Certainly not his kid and her friend.
Those marshmallows are overcooked.
Jeez. Fitzy and Whipper.